Welcome to the second Sunday in the season of Advent. We are here in the middle of this time, a difficult time, a trying time, but also an exciting time as we prepare for the season of Christmas. Of course, Advent is more than just preparing for trees and presents and Christmas dinner, but honestly, that's a part of it. It plays into our acknowledgement of the fact that we are ourselves receiving this incredible gift through Jesus Christ. And as we go through the readings in the season of Advent, it does remind us of all of the things that we are receiving. And of course, John the Baptist, in today's gospel reading is reminding us that we are in fact waiting on a gift. You know, I find it interesting every year I have to really work at the gift-giving element of Christmas. And it's not because I have a hard time thinking of things to buy people in my family. I have a hard time narrowing down my focus of what it is I'm going to buy people. Because I have 12,000 things I think would be great, but I really want to try to bring it down to those one or two things that are just the perfect thing, the thing that people want more than anything else. And every year, at some point, I start to drift a little bit off of that focus of trying to find the one perfect thing, and I start buying things for Christmas for my wife that may or may not be the perfect thing, but I think, well, if she didn't like that thing, maybe she'll like this thing, and if she doesn't like this thing, maybe she'll like that thing. Interesting statistic. Number one most frequently bought Christmas gift in the United States for anyone, wife, husband, brother, sister, children. Number one gift, socks. And you know, on some level I say to myself, who's going under their Christmas tree on a Sunday or on a Christmas day and saying to themselves, boy, I really hope I've got some socks this year. But the answer is, if I'm being honest, I've bought my wife socks pretty much every year for the last several years. And it's not that somehow we have a sock monster that eats just the right-hand sock out of every load of laundry, although I do sometimes suspect that may be the case. But it's that my wife likes a particular kind of thick, fuzzy sock for wearing around the house. And it seems like we can never have enough of those because everybody's feet, other than mine, are always cold. I don't get cold. It's just, I don't know. I don't. So every year, to be fair, I buy socks. And every year when my wife opens up her brand new Christmas fuzzy socks, she goes, oh, we've got socks. And she's happy about it. So maybe socks are the right present. You know, us human beings, though, sometimes we have a hard time discerning the difference between the present we want and the present we need. See, when John the Baptist is out in the wilderness, people are coming out to him. And they're coming out to him with genuine, authentic hearts for God. They are coming out to him very much wanting to have a healed relationship with themselves, with their neighbors, and with God. And so they come out to the River Jordan to be baptized in the water in a sign of repentance and renewal that they are making amends for their bad behaviors, for their sin before God. And John is baptizing them for the forgiveness of sins. He's saying, I baptize you in this water for the repentance of your sins. But then he says, but what I'm doing, the present you're getting from me, what you're receiving from me may be what you want, but it's not the present you need. But one is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandal. Which is kind of a weird statement to say, unless you understand how things worked back then. You see, if you had a household, and in your household maybe you had servants, maybe you had slaves, maybe you had children, maybe you had all of the above, whoever in your household was least important, the person that was at the very bottom of the totem pole, got the grossest jobs. Now, I gotta say, in every household, we all have that hierarchy of who gets what gross jobs. In my household, if anything dies, it's my job. Is there a dead mouse in the driveway? I have to go get the dead mouse. Has a pet died? I have to go get the pet. I'm the gross dead thing guy. But in the households in ancient Israel, the grossest job you could get was untying people's shoes when they entered the home. The master would come home, he would stomp his feet as he came in the door, he'd walk in the door, he'd announce, "Family, I'm home. Somebody come get these filthy shoes off my feet." And of course, back then, things were pretty filthy. Think about it. No public sanitation. Animals as a means of transportation, which meant animal stuff everywhere on the roads. When you came home, your shoes would be caked with mud and garbage and sewage and all sorts of unmentionable things. Whoever was in your household who was least important would then come and untie the thongs of your sandals, take your shoes off, wash your feet, so that you could then go in your house without stomping muck all over the place. So John the Baptist, who is this figure of renown? People have come out from all over Jerusalem to see him. He says, "People, I tell you, one is coming after me, and I'm not fit to do that job in his household. That's how important he is. I baptize you with water for the forgiveness of sins. He will come and baptize you in the Holy Spirit." That's the present you need. We human beings, we struggle with this. We struggle with it a lot. I have this conversation with people all the time, especially when I have that very important conversation with people when we talk about the notion and the nature of salvation. And people will say things to me, good people, Lutheran people, people who have been a part of the church their whole life long, "I really hope that when I die, I've been a good enough person that God will let me into heaven." And as a pastor, as a theologian, as a representative of the kingdom of God, it's just one of those massive facepalm moments for me every time someone says that. Because, of course, that was the gift John the Baptizer was offering to people, to be good enough. But John was very clear with the people when he was talking to them, that might be the gift you want. It might be the gift you come out to seek. It's not the gift you need. It's not enough. Being good is not enough. And part of the problem is human good isn't all that good. Our motives are mixed. Our outcomes are uncertain. And sometimes the good we want to do turns around on us in horrible ways and winds up being bad. No. John the Baptist says the good that you want to do in this world won't get you out of this world. You need something extra. You need something special. You need something different. You need a present that I can't give you, John the Baptist says. But one is coming after me. And he is so great, I am not fit to do the dirtiest job in his kingdom. And he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. See, this is what faith in Jesus Christ means. Our goodness, our badness, our righteousness, our unrighteousness is not sufficient to get us into heaven. It never will be. Somebody says to Jesus once, "Good teacher, tell me." And Jesus stops him right there. He says, "Hold up. Before you go on any further, why do you call me good? No human is good. Only God in heaven is good. We're all down here on this world, humans. You and me, we're broken. I'm broken, you're broken, the person who lives across the street from you is broken, the folks who live in Washington, D.C., they're broken. Everybody everywhere is broken. And we're all equally broken. And no matter how many times we go to the waters of repentance, no matter how many times we go to this world's John the Baptist, and this world's full of John the Baptists, and if you read the description of him, he sounds crazy. He's wearing a fur coat in the desert. He's got a leather belt on. He eats honey and locust, which is just weird. And he lives in the wilderness. He says he never cut his hair, so he's got a scraggly long beard and probably bushy hair that's all matted together because he lives in the wilderness. And people are going out to him to do this crazy washing thing. How is this any different than the world that we live in today? We have so many crazy people who are telling us the right thing to do to make ourselves perfect enough for this world. You do this juice cleanse, you do this kind of exercise, you do this kind of meditation, you do this kind of recycling, you use this kind of language, you use that kind of car, you buy this sort of soap. If you do these things, you're good enough. And they're no less crazy than John the Baptist looked. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. We ought to do all of those things, except maybe the juice cleanse part. I think the science on that one's pretty hinky. No. Yet none of those things will make us righteous in the eyes of God. The kindest, goodest, gentlest, most peaceful, most at one with the world person that you've ever met is still not good. At least, not God good, not heaven good. So what is it that puts us over? What is it that brings us into the kingdom of God? It is nothing but the Holy Spirit. There's a reason the third article of the creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed, all deal with how the Holy Spirit brings us into the church. You see, it is through the Holy Spirit that comes as a result of Jesus Christ sending the Holy Spirit to those who believe in him that brings us into the kingdom, that gives us the gift, that gives us the ability to believe in Jesus Christ. That itself even is a gift. Faith isn't something you squeeze your eyes shut really hard, grit your teeth, and just push through. Even faith itself is a gift of the Holy Spirit. That begins with our simple belief that Jesus is the Christ. This is the gift we need. This is the gift we can't live without. This is the gift that brings us into the kingdom of God. It is God's presence in our life, the Holy Spirit poured out on humanity through Jesus the Christ that John the Baptist was foretelling. This Christmas season, we remember on Christmas Eve, when we gather together, and we're going to gather together, just in our parking lot, when we gather together to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, we are gathering together to remember this incredible gift that was given to humanity of life, life abundant, life everlasting, life that has truly been transformed by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to cleanse us of all of our sin, to make us right with God the Father in heaven, to lift us up into his kingdom, and to turn us into the sons and daughters of God. And without that, without the Holy Spirit that comes through Christ Jesus, our good is never good enough. The world's good is never righteousness. So as we gather here and we remember the Advent, the second coming of Christ, who will one day come to lift us up all into the kingdom of heaven forever and ever and ever, and to judge this world, we remember that the criteria of that judgment is one thing and one thing only. Do we believe in Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of God, who sends upon us the one gift that we need more than anything else, the presence of the Holy Spirit that lifts us up out of the brokenness of our humanity?